We'll move on for now to item 7, a discussion of East Contra Costa Fire Protection District requests. Gail.
Yeah, so Sarah was depooled in the 2009 actuarial evaluation. As a result of that, cost group number 8 was created, which has two employers in that cost group, East Contra Costa County Fire Protection District and the Contra Costa County Fire Protection District. The East Contra Costa County Fire Protection District has provided the enclosed request that's in the board packet for the board's consideration and review. We also had Siegel prepare a response, which John Monroe's here today to go over that response and answer any questions that the board may have. This is agendized as merely a discussion item today. It's not set up for an actionable item at this point. So with that, I wanted to hand it over.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so as Gail said, in the December 31st, 2009 actual evaluation, cost group number 8 was created, and it includes two employers, a Contra Costa Fire Protection District, so I'll call them CONFIRE, and then the East Contra Costa County Fire Protection District, and I'll call them East Fire, okay? A few things to keep in mind. CONFIRE, they're significantly larger than East Fire. I'll go through some of the numbers, but when the depooling was implemented, East Fire had right around 50 employees, and that was kind of the threshold for deciding if an employer should go in their own cost group or not. But ultimately, it was decided that East Fire would be pooled in cost group A with CONFIRE. A little bit of background on how we got here today. In late 2017, there was an initial letter sent on behalf of East Fire. It contained roughly 20 questions, requests for information, and so on. We responded to that letter. Then there was another request in late 2018 that the Retirement Association responded to. And then the latest request was dated May 1st, 2019, and that's what we're talking about today. And you have in your board packet a July 15th response letter from me and Paul Angelo from Siegel. So this latest request, they have two items that they want the retirement board to consider, and they involve key factors that in determining the employer contribution rate for East Fire. First, what they're asking is that the retirement board consider making an adjustment to address the treatment of CONFIRE's pension obligation bonds in the actual evaluation. So I'll talk about that request first. Back in 2005, CONFIRE's unfunded liability was about $125 million. CONFIRE issued a POB in that amount to pay off their unfunded liability at that time. They also made some smaller additional contributions towards paying off their unfunded liability in future years in 2006 and 2007. Those are smaller amounts, like I think they added up to about $10 million. Now, recall that when we determine an employer contribution rate for a cost group with more than one employer, we basically have to kind of back out the POB, determine the rate that applies to the employer that didn't issue the POB, and then put the POB back in and basically calculate the contribution rate that applies to the employer that issued the POB. So we do that for cost group 8. CONFIRE issued the POB. East Fire did not issue the POB. Okay. So we follow kind of this process each and every year to give them a reduction in their contribution rate, to give CONFIRE a reduction in their contribution rate. And we track that that outstanding balance of the pension obligation bond in a manner consistent with the unfunded liability amortization layers in the VAL report. So it's like a credit layer towards the unfunded liability. And we increase it with interest at the assumed earnings assumption and decrease it with the credit that CONFIRE receives each year. So basically, we've been asked by East Fire to consider making an adjustment to the treatment of the POB and the valuation. They've asked us to basically to consider going back to the date of POB issuance and credit it with the actual market returns, not assumed returns, okay? That would basically, okay, so what's going on right now is basically any year there is a market return that's different than the actual assumption, and that occurs basically every year, either a gain or a loss, then there is a gain or loss on those invested POB proceeds because they're invested just like all other assets. That gain or loss gets shared, like all other gains or losses, in this cost group, okay, by the two employers. So basically, the East Fire is asking us to go back, adjust the POB to use actual returns, so that basically the pool. So basically, they're not their rate is not affected by the investment gains or losses on that POB. I mean, basically, that's what they're asking. So we could either go back retroactively and make that adjustment, or we could also consider making adjustments on a prospective basis to credit market return on that POB. Now keep in mind that Confire, they comprise 92% of the payroll for this cost group. East Fire is about 8%. Okay, so Confire is significantly larger than East Fire. Any gain or loss, including those on the POB and so on, is 92% funded by Confire and 8% funded by East Fire. A few other things to note here. It's not just gains or losses on the POB, but gains or losses due to retirement, mortality, so on, are pooled in this cost group. The normal cost is also pooled in this cost group. East Fire has a 0.6% of pay higher normal cost than Confire. But East Fire pays basically a lower normal cost because they're pooled with Confire. I think the current methodology where we track the UAL amortization, we track the POB balance like the UAL amortization layer using the assumed interest crediting is reasonable because, again, it's designed to basically mimic the portion of unfunded liability that it's paying off. But if we do take a fresh look at how the POBs are handled based on East Fire's request, I mean, their request is also reasonable. So again, we could adjust basically retroactively the POB to have actual market returns since it was put in 2005, or we could adjust on a prospective basis from the date of the last valuation, which was December 31st, 2017. So that's the first request from the district, and basically it boils down to investment gains or losses on the POB are being pooled in the cost group, like all other gains or losses in that cost group, and East Fire would like an adjustment to be made for that.
Hey, John.
One question.
My
question is,
you said you could do it that way, so I was wondering what happens in other retirement systems. How do they handle it? Because I know there are a lot of POBs out there just because they were very popular.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Well, I can give let me give an example in this retirement system. So there's been a few POBs and additional contributions. I mean, the county did some large ones, yes. Okay. Yeah. The county, they are pooled with some other small districts, that's handled in a very similar way. Now, but we also have, like the Central Sanitary District, they've made additional contributions in each year, but they are in their own cost group, okay? So when you're in your own cost group, I mean, you are 100% on the hook for your gains and losses, so it's not really an issue. It's really when you're pooled with other employers. So that's the first thing. As far as other systems, again, it really depends on whether you have multiple employers in that cost group or not. I think there's other systems that may handle it this way that we're doing for Contra Costa, but there's also other systems. I'm trying to think that. I mean, there's some systems where the county does a POB and they give other employers the credit for it too. I mean, they don't try to adjust the rate. I can think of one system that's done that on a POB that was issued a long time ago. Again, it depends on whether they're pooled with another employer or not, and that's probably the more rare situation. Yeah.
Okay. 'Cause, I mean, for me, what I find troubling is, in a perfect world, even if you're pooled, there would be an equitable approach to it. But again, the benefit, I suppose, of pooling, of course, as you mentioned, you know, it's a 6% higher cost, is they do receive a certain benefit in some areas. So that's sort of my general statement there. But thank you for that clarification. It sounds like they really, it can be done however anyone determines. There's no set way it has to be done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few ways it can be done, yes.
Mm-hmm. There are a few, but there's not just one.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my question, John, is you said you thought the request was reasonable,
yep.
And I want to be sure that you're distinguishing between the methodology that's being proposed versus the suggestion that we go back in the time tunnel 14 years and adjust something. Are you suggesting the latter is reasonable, or are you suggesting the method being proposed is?
The method being proposed is to go back to 2005 and basically credit the POB with market returns from that date. Okay, now we're not trying to retroactively change any contribution rates or anything like that. I mean, we would just retroactively, we would adjust the balance of that POB to reflect actual returns since 2005. Okay.
But that's not what we did since 2005, right?
That's not what we've done. We've credited it with assumed returns. Okay, and then any gains or losses on it have been shared between the employers.
And that's how it was established at the time, correct?
That's how it's always been done, yeah.
So this is, the request revisits the fundamental basis upon which it was set up, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And for the other cost groups that had POBs in them as well, the same treatment applied as far as using the assumed rate versus actual?
That is correct. There was a POB from a small one from First Five. There was one from Moraga Arinda. Now, their safety members are in their own cost group, but their general members are pooled within the county cost group. But that's, yes, they've all been handled the same exact way.
Mm-hmm. Harvey?
Just a comment that might tie in with this and might help also. We're required by law to credit assumed rate of return on the employer assets in the system. We do that twice a year. Every 6 months. So that's what this reflects, crediting the assumed rate of return.
That is correct.
This is why we have the so-called contra account in the system, because if we're crediting more interest to those reserves than we actually earned during that period, we have to have an offsetting debit account on our books, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the law says we have to credit the assumed rate of return, that's what you've done, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. I guess I have a question about materiality. In your letter of the 15th, you suggest that there are a couple of conclusions that Hanson Blodgett has come to that are inaccurate. I'm trying to determine to what extent those are material. Are they just small inaccuracies, or do they... or disagreements, professional disagreements, or do they actually impact what recommendation you might have?
Yeah, I think those are smaller issues. I mean, one of them, I think there was some, the Confire POB, it was bigger than $125 million. One, there was some bond fee, there was some bond issuance or underwriter fees or whatever they had to pay. Those don't get into the pension plan or anything like that. And there was also a payment on a Paulson settlement, which was already something that was included in the assets of the pension plan. And that number we have not tracked like this. I mean, that was treated like all other contributions. So we just clarified those in our letter, but then we kind of just moved on with our calculations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. So I actually have a question that goes to two people. First, to Tim Price. If these POBs had been issued in the summer of 2009, is it a fair statement to say they would have earned more than the assumed earnings rate?
Yes.
So with that being said, if they had issued them in 2009 and this came before us, they would have been shorted. Using Econ Fire's methodology, they wouldn't have been credited with as much as it actually earned. Is that correct?
Basically, if these bonds were deposited in 2009, when the market was just starting to take off again.
Correct.
Basically, what would happen is there'd be investment gains on those bonds, and those gains would be pulled in the cost group, and they would be reducing East Fire's rate. And we wouldn't be here today, probably. Okay. I can give you another example. The county put their POBs in 2003. And we did a little calculation. Down three, this retirement system earned 23%. And the next year, I think it was double digits again. And so at least through, December 31st, 2017, the county POB has earned more than the assumption. So that's an example. Again, just another example of it depends on when you put it in. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, time to market.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me move on to the second part of their request here. The second part of the request, they are asking the retirement board to consider allocating costs based on liabilities rather than payroll. Now, by cost, we believe that they are talking about the UAL costs, or the unfunded liability contribution rate. Okay, so first thing, the determining the portion of the unfunded liability that the employer pays off, or determining their unfunded liability contribution rate, that is based on payroll. Okay, so if Confire is 92% of the payroll, they have 92% of the unfunded liability for that cost group. That's how it's done for every single cost group. Now, what's going on here is Confire's payroll is 92% of the payroll for the cost group, but Confire's actual accrued liability, their liability, is 96% of the total actual accrued liability. So that leaves East Fire with 8% of the payroll and 4% of the actual accrued liability. So if we were to allocate the unfunded liability based on the actuarial accrued liability, instead of being allocated 8%, East Fire would get 4%. I mean, their unfunded liability would basically go down in half. Okay, so that's what they're asking there. Basically our response to this one is we don't think it'd be feasible to do the allocation of costs based on liabilities if we leave these two employers in the same cost group. First thing, it's inconsistent with how all other cost groups are handled. And then the second thing is basically what would happen is each year there'd be kind of a reallocation of assets in that cost group based on liabilities. So if one group has a bunch of retirements and their liability goes up, they suddenly get more assets. So they'd be shifting around like that. In other words, the assets would change for these two employers whenever the liabilities would change. Okay, so the assets would be changing based on demographic experience. So our thoughts is, if East Fire wants, kind of their own cost, maybe it makes sense to depool them into their own cost group. Now, that could be done based on payroll, which would leave the unfunded liability costs the same, unchanged for these two employers at the time you depool, or it could be done based on liabilities, which again would result in a significant decrease in unfunded liability for East Fire. And an increase for Confire.
John, what would Confire's reaction be to that?
Let's ask them, I guess.
And just to say, this has not come before the Confire board, so we've had no discussion about it. I don't know, the chief may have some ideas about it, but Confire board has not had this discussion.
And in a second, I'll go through a few numbers here so we can kind of see the impact of these potential things. But depooling East Fire, that would eliminate any pooling of gains and losses between these two employers. It would eliminate any that would include eliminating any gains or losses on Confire's pension obligation bond. But East Fire would be on the hook for their own experience. Okay. Now, so if they have a bunch of retirements or something suddenly in some year and their liability goes up, then their contribution rate's going to be more volatile. East Fire, they have about 35 active members right now. They're a relatively small employer, so that would depooling them, they may have some volatility there, and I don't know if they want to be on the hook for their own experience. I mean, there are benefits of pooling. I think that was mentioned in sharing experience. The page 5 of the July 15th letter has some employer contribution rates under a few scenarios. Currently, the employer rate for Confire is 71.6% of payroll, and East Fire is 121.6% of payroll. So if we depooled based on liabilities, which is East Fire's second request, then Confire's employer rate goes up about 4% of pay. It'd be 75.4%. East Fire would have a significant drop from 121.6 to about 78% of pay. And that's, again, because they're only getting, they would only get allocated unfunded liability based on their liabilities, which are only 4% instead of based on payroll, which is about 8%. So their unfunded liability would basically get cut in half. It's pretty much what would happen under that scenario. Okay, we also looked at what would happen if we went back and adjusted the Confire pension obligation bond balance to reflect actual returns since 2005, and then also did the depooling based on liabilities. Confire's rate would be 76.7. That's about a 1.3 increase from the previous scenario, and East Fire's rate would go down to about 63% of pay. Other alternatives could involve maybe just adjusting for the POB only and not depooling, or if you depool it based on payroll, then there'd be no change in the unfunded liability rates. A few final comments. If East Fire was depooled, maybe we want to express their unfunded liability payment in dollars like we do for another small safety fire district, Rodeo Hercules, because otherwise there could be a significant volatility in that unfunded liability rate when expressed as a percent of payroll. And the other thing about East, a while ago the board adopted a declining employer policy, and I just want to bring up that if an employer like East Fire, if they were ever treated as like a declining employer, then that policy does call for depooling based on liabilities. So I just wanted to mention that so the board's aware of that. Finally, so in summary, I mean, the issues are really regarding the pooling of the investment gains or losses on the POB and basically how to allocate UAL costs or contribution rates, whether based on payroll or based on liabilities. So that's open up to more questions.
Any questions for John?
Chair. This is more of a policy question. Isn't there a possibility, this is probably more for the rest of the group, that if you allow a group to kind of pick and choose when they're going to pool and depool, that they come back in two or three years and say, on second thought, we want to be repooled because the numbers haven't looked so good right now. This kind of experience shopping seems like a very slippery slope, to borrow a hackneyed expression.
It could be. I mean, we also have an employer that asked 20 questions and then picked out the two things that helped them, of right. course, yeah.
Karen.
Question, John. You mentioned the Rodeo Hercules Fire District, mm-hmm. and they're depooled and they
yep.
have their own costs.
Yep.
Can you go over in depooling what the cutoff was for pooling employers together in terms of number of employees, and then tell us what the number of employees is for each of the three fire districts, Rodeo Hercules, East Confire, and Confire?
Sure. The depooling cutoff was 50 active members. That's what it was. And Rodeo Hercules Fire Protection District, they have less than 50 employees, and I'm not sure that I have their number of employees. I think it may be around 20, maybe less than that. But the reason they are depooled, they have a separate benefit formula. They did not adopt the 3% at 50 formula. They still have the 2% at 50 safety formula. So that's why they are depooled. They had a different benefit formula. Okay, but Confire, In the last evaluation, as of December 31st, 2017, they had 268 active employees. East Fire had 36 active employees.
Any other questions for John? Okay, after speaking with General Counsel, what I'd like to do is invite a representative from East Confire to speak. Then if someone from Confire wants to speak on the agency's behalf if they can, and then we'll open it up to comments from the public. So is there an East County Fire representative? Welcome, Chief.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, Mr. Smithy, Chair of the Board, and fellow board members. Before I get started, I'd like to make a couple brief introductions of those that I brought with me here today. In the back of the room, we have Judy Boyette, which is a representative of Hanson Bridget. She's part of the district's legal counsel. To her right, we have Regina Rubiere, which is a business services manager for East Contra Costa Fire. And to the right of her is engineer Ryan Pessinen, and also a member of IFF Local 1230. And to the far right, we have the vice president of our board, Director Smith. And so, thank you. Secondarily, I want to thank Cicera CEO Gail Stroll for, yes.
And can you, for the record, just introduce yourself?
Absolutely. My name is Brian Helmick, and I'm the fire chief for the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District.
Thank you.
And again, those members are here with me today. I want to thank Gail for providing the opportunity to be here today, and I also want to thank her staff, as they've been very helpful throughout this very complex process. We really appreciate the assistance, and I want to provide a little bit of background on what's brought us here today. Over the past 2 years, we've grown concerned about the amount of contributions that we've made in regards to Cicera, because we have a much higher percentage of active payroll than those of other participating employees within Cicera. Because of these financial commitments to Cicera, and this is such a large part of the district's operating budget, we felt we had an obligation on behalf of all of our members to be able to explore this to the best that we can. After studying the situation with information made available to us, and as you can see within your board packets, we believe and we also ask the Board of Retirement to review these specific areas of our concerns. And we're also asking for them to take some action to address what we believe to be unfair allocations of liability to the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District under the current methodologies that are being used. We believe that for most part, these issues may be unique to Cost Group 8, under which Cicera combined our district safety members with the Contra Costa County Fire Protection District safety members for the purposes of determining the Cicera liabilities. We are a separate district from CONFIRE, and we do have our own bottom lines, and we believe that the current methodologies being used have caused an unfair allocation of liabilities to our district for two primary reasons. First, Contra Costa County Fire has a much higher portion of retirees to active payroll than the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District does. And Cicera's processes, which allocate costs based on active payroll for the two entities, does not properly take into account the differences in the retiree population for the two entities. Secondarily, Contra Costa County Fire issued a pension obligation bond, as discussed here this morning, while the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District did not. We believe that the methodology of crediting earnings to those pension obligation bonds has created an unfair shift and cost to our district. As you can see from the board materials today, we've asked the Board of Retirement to address these two issues that involve complex and detailed actuarial information. The bottom line is that we are asking for fair and common sense approaches to the allocation of liabilities. We do appreciate Cicera's actuary Siegel, and we also thank them for making some alternative suggestions as to steps that might be used to address our current concerns. We would welcome any methodology that we more fairly deal with our concerns, and we also ask the board to give consideration any changes that would produce reasonable and fair treatment to the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. The current unfair allocation is causing harm to our district, our covered Cicera members, and to the public that we serve and protect by putting undue strain on our financial resources. We are here to ask that you take action to help address these concerns. I do want to thank not only Siegel, but Cicera and staff and all of you, and we want to work with you as we continue to work through these complex challenges. And we're here to provide any answers, any questions you may have. We're here to work with you throughout this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions for the Chief? Comments? Seeing none, thank you. Is there a representative from Confire who would like to speak before the board? Welcome.
Well, good morning, everybody. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Louis Brochard, Fire Chief for Contra Costa County Fire. I actually don't have any prepared comments. As Ms. Anderson pointed out, this has not been brought to our board for discussion, so I don't have authority to give you an opinion on behalf of the district with regards to the issue. In principle, the district is looking for equity and consistency. Decisions that are made here that affect our pension system, affect our bottom line, which affect our ability to provide the services that we do. So today I came to listen to get information from Siegel. That was very enlightening, and I think now we have more information that we can bring back to our board for discussion and hopefully bring back information on our position to you.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks.
And are there any members of the public who wish to speak on this item? Seeing none. So, Gail, staff will work with Siegel and the districts. Perhaps come back to this board.
Is there any specific direction from the board that you'd like to?
So I'm interested in a recommendation that comes out of whatever further evaluative process we have. In other words, if it's going to come back in front of us, I'd like there to be either a recommended course of action or a set of options and the consequences of each. Right? I think that's fair. It sounds like the chief of Confire and that board are going to consider it. Probably makes a lot of sense to me to have the benefit of that input analysis and their opinion in that cost group, obviously, before we were to consider it.
And from my standpoint, wearing many hats today, I'm hesitant to do things retroactively just because we've all relied on those things. I would like to look at things moving forward. If there were depooling, you know, other things, of course, I don't know how far back I would really go to try to adjust different bases.
I have the same concern.
I absolutely concur with that.
I do as well.
Yeah, perhaps you've already touched on it, but I think we need to think in terms of a much broader subject matter here and a policy that we may be establishing. Mm-hmm. If we're inching our way back into pooling or depooling or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. and we run the risk of changing our overall policy, we may be starting something that we want to consider the ramifications of that kind of a decision. And even the appropriateness, possibly, of a limitation on the amount of time or a minimum time period that this would be done, that some agency couldn't come back in a year and say we want to change something again. Mm-hmm. If you make a change, it's going to be there for 5 years or 10 years or whatever it might be. So I think we just need to think about what the other ramifications might be of changing this policy. It's got a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with that, historically, since we've did the depooling, I'm assuming we modified any groups with regard to how they were pooled and whether or not they could withdraw from a pool? Has that come up yet? Because to me, it's not unreasonable for any agency to come to us and say, I'd like to be depooled. But to your point, Jerry, no, you can't have someone come back then 2 years later and say, never mind, we liked it back the way it was. I mean, it's sort of a... This is, again, right. Moving forward, and you accept those ramifications.
And I'm not aware of any district since we depooled. John, can you, prior to my...
I don't think...
It's fairly recent. I mean, again, yeah. 10 years since you did the pooling right. and the depooling in the first...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the pooling, depooling, whatever we want to call it. So I would be surprised if we had any... But again,
I don't remember any.
Okay.
In the last 5 years, we haven't had any such requests.
And do we have any policy even in place, in our policies and procedures with regard to applying to change the pooling? Or have we pretty much been the decision makers in that regard and haven't had a process in place for an agency wishing to depool?
We have not set up a specific policy that addresses.
Okay, well, and that.
Because we haven't had it come up also.
No, we haven't. And so, yeah. Again, that might be part of the discussion of what that type of a policy might look like. That's really, I think, what Jerry was proposing.
Right.
Okay.
John Monroe, off the top of your head, do you have any sense about how many other multi-employer groups that we have?
It's mainly the general county. There's the two cost groups that are pooled with some other small districts, you know, LAFCO, the courts are in there, you know, a mosquito district or something. So general county, there's two cost groups there. And then there's one other cost group that has two employers, two very small employers, and those are the employers, general employers, that did not adopt a benefit enhancement either. But I think those are the only ones.
Yep. So very... whatever policy we come up with is going to have very little impact,
right,
on our group.
No, it definitely would. And in, you know, again, recognizing East County Fire is paying a very significant portion compared to other districts, and circumstances have changed. So I would love to provide relief, but not unless we have a policy in place that addresses it appropriately and doesn't have, and again, we have to see all the ramifications before.
Okay, Mike, then Harvey.
Well, Harvey may have answered the question. I'm not sure. Has there ever been a question about the returns assumed versus actual? Has anybody else ever brought that up? Harvey seemed to say that the law says that it has to be based on assumed valuation?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Harvey?
Well, I was going to say, if the direction of the board is asking staff and consultants to come up with some recommendations, there are two pieces of information that I think might be useful. One is to note, and both from East County, number one is your headcount actually declining over the last several years? And do you expect your headcount to continue to decline for whatever reason? That would be helpful to know. And the other is, does East County want staff to consider the depooling and putting you in your own cost group, even though you're under 50. You know, so if we understand what the scope of what we're looking at, it would be helpful to have those two pieces of information.
And I think just hearing from On Fire in an official capacity, you know, maybe the two districts can work it out amongst themselves, or if we need to do something, we can act on it later. Which chief? Yep.
Chief Helmick.
Do you have a comment, Chief?
No, I just didn't know if you'd like me to answer the two questions.
If you have the answers, we want to hear them.
Sure.
Absolutely. I like this.
No, so I would say the first question was in regards to our employees, do we expect them to deteriorate over time? And with our existing revenues, we anticipate that our staffing is actually going to remain the same. So we have 35. We do anticipate some retirements in March of 2020. We've already hired to backfill those. With that being said, if we were to pass an assessment or parcel tax of some sort, we'd obviously be working towards increasing our staffing levels. So we do have a 10-year financial plan to meet and maintain sustainability at our three-station model. But if we were to get long-term sustainable revenue, we would increase our stations accordingly. Secondarily, I think that Siegel did make the recommendation or consider the recommendation that possible depooling, and I think that the district would like to look into that possibility. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I would just point out from a demographic standpoint, we'll have more information with the census, but East County is where we're continuing to see the largest growth in Contra Costa County with new development, new buildings. So it's reasonable to assume, yes, there's some significant revenue constraints out there, that it will continue to increase rather than decline.
It's
either way, it speaks to kind of a pro depooling approach, right? Either they get larger or cross over that 50 employee threshold,
right,
or they're smaller and they trigger that declining employer,
yeah,
whatever policy.
Chief, do you have
something? If I could just jump in very quickly, just a couple of points of clarification. For our safety group, we're about 300 employees right now.
versus the 268, which was dated, what, 2017 perhaps. And as was pointed out, we're probably going to be looking at expanding with development and other issues, but that's a moving target. I just wanted to point out that our next board meeting, our next opportunity to discuss this is in about a week and a half, and there won't be enough time to do that.
No, that's...
Yeah. So as far as expectations, we're probably into September with our next opportunity to bring this up to our board and discuss it and come back.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion on this item? Okay. Thank you.